I'm an infrastructure engineer, but I'm in the fairly unique position of being able to see a lot of game development teams, work with them on their use cases and needs, and see a lot of different applications of what we're doing throughout the infrastructure. So I'll be speaking from that perspective.
George and I just did this exact same panel at GDC a few days ago, so he's memorized all the answers. Daryl has not.
Sure, I'm Daryl, I'm the head of product management for RightScale. We're a cloud computing management platform, and help customers like EA and Zynga manage public clouds and like Rackspace and private clouds as well.
Hi, my name is Alan Leinwand. I'm CTO of infrastructure at Zynga. I'm responsible for our data center, servers, network, storage, CDN, and something we have our private cloud we call zCloud. Responsible for that project. Also, in my past, I've worked for venture capitalists. Been a venture capitalist for 7.5 years. Also, spent time in other CTO type roles. I founded an open source networking company called Viata, and I've been doing infrastructure and this thing called cloud now for a long time.
Hi, my name is Megan Wolford. I'm the product manager in Rackspace's cloud division. I'm the product manager over our upcoming cloud block storage offer, as well as our existing object storage cloud files. So my primary job is to look at industries like gaming and others and figure out what the Rackspace cloud can do for them and how we can serve these different industries.
Great. Well, I'm going to start this a little bit like a therapy session and ask Megan, what does cloud gaming mean to you? I'll actually ask that of each of the panelists.
Sure.
What is gaming in the cloud?
So I think it's a couple of different things. So you can either run your actual gaming infrastructure from the cloud. A lot of times people need things like high I/O storage, and they want to start small and scale up. In addition to that, though, there's a lot of different pieces of the gaming industry. I think there's the distribution, which we can help with using our CDN. There's things like pay-per-view events, which is amazing, I think, that attract all these kind of things.
Can you just explain CDN real quick?
Sure. CDN is a content delivery network. So what that basically does is it takes your infrastructure where you have it in your data center or at home, and it distributes it over companies like Akamai or Limelight over this mass array of servers around the globe. Most of these companies have upwards of 83,000, 90,000 servers around the globe. Your content gets cached out around the world. And so when customers request your data, they're requesting it from their local edge server rather than coming all the way back to your data center. So it's a way to get great speed and global distribution without having to have your individual footprint all over the world.
Alan?
Yeah, So cloud gaming to Zynga. So Zynga is a company that obviously brings play to the internet, and we're very responsible and spend a lot of time trying to bring fun into people's lives, and we think play should be, you know, a daily habit. Hopefully some of you are playing Words with Friends right now. One of the things that we like to do with cloud is we've had an interesting history there. We started out hosting things in our private data centers and infrastructure that we rented and leased. We ended up, and some of you may have heard the story, we ended up going off and launching some of our more popular games and titles and scaling them at a rate that we couldn't scale them before in private infrastructure using a public cloud, namely Amazon Web Services. We scaled that. To give you an example, when we launched Farmville back in 2009, Farmville went from 0 to 25 million daily active players in a course of 5 months. That'd be very hard to do in private infrastructure. You can't get cages, you can't get bandwidth, you can't get CDNs provisioned that fast. So we did that with Amazon Web Services. Over the course of the next year or two, we end up building out a private cloud we call zCloud. zCloud is private infrastructure that runs on our own Zynga-defined data centers. And we built an innovative hybrid model where we would actually launch games in Amazon Web Services. As they would scale up in AWS, we would sort of plot the slope of the line, and then we'd take those games that were running up in AWS and bring them back into zCloud, something we called cloud bursting in reverse. We were doing that for a period of time, and then we decided that, you know, it's better to own the place where you live. So we changed our cloud strategy a bit, and we started building out zCloud internally. We built out zCloud doing things like provisioning 1,000 physical servers in 24 hours. We built 100x number of servers between January of 2009 and January of 2012. Our server count jumped 100x. And the upshot of it is at the end of, in the beginning of January of 2011, we were running about 20% of our daily active players in zCloud and about 80% up in Amazon. And by the end of last year, end of 2011, we had actually had 80% of our daily active players running on zCloud internally and 20% up in Amazon. Sort of a very innovative hybrid model that allows us to scale and move the cloud as we see fit between public and private, keeping a very hybrid model, and that's how we've been using the cloud at Zynga.
And is that 80-20 ratio likely what we would expect?
Yeah, we like having a public cloud. People ask us this a lot since we went out and said that we've built up zCloud, we've bulked it up, we've tuned it for performance and availability, we've added a lot of automation features on it. And people say, well, are you ever going to get out of Amazon? You can use a public cloud. Well, in one of my previous lives, I built a CDN, as Megan mentioned. And one thing that's nice about CDNs is they give you the capability at the edge, and they give you the capability at the edge in order to absorb load. So you don't have to build out your origin. You don't have to build your house bigger every single time. And I think public clouds are a lot like that. They're shock absorbers for me, one way to think about it. I like to think of being able to take properties and take services and take these live things that are happening on the Zynga network all the time and either leverage the public cloud or leverage my private zCloud as appropriate. We spend a lot of time thinking about that and keeping these live games, you know, your Castleville, your farm, your Words with Friends, everything that you're continuously changing. Those are game boards that are always being manipulated. And it's our job to look at the infrastructure and understand how to best use it, public or private. So to answer your question, Ari, you know, are we going to keep 80-20 or are we going to modify it? The truth is we're going to do what's best for the business. We're going to do what's best for the business allows us to scale. You know, we launched Castleville back in November of last year, went from 0 to 5 million daily active players in 6 days. We did that on zCloud. And we have other services during that time, during that ramp period, we needed to do up in AWS. So we just need to have that flexibility and make sure that we always have that ability to leverage a hybrid cloud. You know, Zynga's a fast-scaling company, and that's what we spend our time doing.
So I wanted to ask, just to get a sense of the people in the audience, how many of you are actually hosting games on the cloud right now? Raise your hands. So a minority. Are there people just hosting on traditional or managed hosting? Okay. So most people thinking about getting into the cloud then, perhaps. So what do I think the cloud means for gaming? And for me, it's not just gaming, but a bunch of different industries that are coming onto the cloud. The main thing is I think the cloud is a giant photocopy machine. So you can basically take a server that you like or an architecture that you like and put it on the glass, hit 1,000, and press go. And it will just photocopy those servers for you. So if your game starts to scale, you can bring it up to massive scale in a very short amount of time. Or let's say if the game doesn't do well, you can photocopy the deployment and give it back to the game team and say, all right, well, let's let this game die out. And they'll start working on pivoting, and maybe they'll tweak the front end or they'll tweak the gameplay. So it gives this great ability for gaming teams to experiment, and when then something does hit, to scale to whatever you need to do. And I was working at a gaming company before called PlayFirst, and we were in traditional hosting, and whenever we needed more servers, we'd have to find a rack nearby our current machines, and it was nearly impossible. And I can't imagine anybody starting out that way nowadays when something like the cloud is available. We have this thing called server templates, which kind of act like blueprints for your servers, and we've seen an increase of about 50% since January, just in the server templates that we have in our system. So people are just photocopying like mad. So that's what I think cloud brings to gaming, that ability to experiment and then scale when it does hit.
So I'd build a little bit on what Daryl is saying, and cloud gaming, from our perspective, is a really great low-risk way to experiment with new directions to take your games. This is definitely why we're seeing the advent of social gaming, mobile gaming, freemium models. It's a very easy way to try a new model, see if it's going to flop, and either be able to accommodate the 10 players that you have or the 10 million. Within EA, our bread and butter basically is AAA console titles. But increasingly, we are expanding into these new markets, and when we're doing so, we're definitely doing it in cloud infrastructure. From an infrastructure perspective, I think what we will have learned at the end of the day from cloud is the value of elasticity, right? The value of being able to scale your infrastructure footprint based on your actual workload. We'll also have learned the value of full infrastructure automation, which is a very key tenet of being able to scale quickly out in cloud. I think a few years ago, only bleeding edge technology shops were really into infrastructure orchestration, and now that's a mainstream concept. Cloud has really pushed that into the forefront, and everybody's doing it, everybody's talking about it. Additionally, cloud, I think, will have really taught us the value of building fault tolerance into our games. A lot of cloud resources are notoriously unreliable, and I think in a traditional hosting model, we trick ourselves into a false sense of security, thinking that if we have enough redundant power supplies or, you know, hot pluggable backplanes, that these things will never go down, and we build with those things in mind. Cloud has really pushed that notion of not being able to rely on any bit of your infrastructure into the forefront. And I think what we will ultimately pull away from that is a much higher higher level of service availability for our games.
Daryl, you guys at RiceCode, I mean, you work with companies all across the board. What's different about a gaming company in the cloud versus any other, you know, on-demand service or SaaS company? What really sort of distinguishes how a gaming company works for you?
Okay, so I think there are some things that are different and some things that are the same. So on the same side, you know, we see a lot of other just companies that are just doing like Web 2.0 products where you'll have a 3 or 4 tier stack. So you'll have your proxy, your Memcache, your app servers, your databases. And in that way, it's very similar. A lot of the gaming companies have those stacks as well. And so we'll help them photocopy and scale. I think what I've seen just from the successful, or how people, how the gaming companies have used the platform most successfully is when they set up a kind of like an assembly line architecture. So I like to think of the Model T Ford. You can have any color as long as it's black and it's a Model T. So you'll see teams that'll set up the templates and you basically just plug in your game code and that's all you get. And if you're using PHP, you better hire PHP developers. And so we see those companies pretty successful in that they can scale out quickly and they can experiment rapidly. So they're constantly tweaking the games, tweaking the front ends, and they don't have to worry about the back end. Then the IT team can spend the whole time just sort of, you know, teaching the dev teams how to use the platform and not have to think about it and not have to think about setting up a lot of different types of platforms. So I think that's where I've seen some gaming companies differ a little bit.
And at what point in the scaling process should gaming companies come to you?
Okay. Well, I would say as early as possible. However, you know, you can come to us at either one of two points. One is right at the beginning to get everything set up to scale, or we actually have a lot of people, honestly, that come to us after their game starts to break because they weren't set up to scale. And I'd almost prefer the latter because then you really value the platform and you understand what we can do. Sometimes if you come to us and you don't end up scaling, you get a little upset about the amount of money that you might have paid for RightScale. But it's not our fault if the game wasn't popular. Then we do have companies like, you know, Zynga that came to us and they were on the platform, and then when it started to scale, it just scaled. I would say early, if you really think you have a hit on your hand, come early. Otherwise, we see a lot of people come to us after about 10 or 20 servers when they can't manage it anymore by themselves.
Play early, play often.
Megan, what about you?
So I think that we actually see a ton of customers coming to us in the very beginning. And I think that we see that because the cloud is just basically built for startups. You can start developing your game without having to have these huge resources, without having to have an IT staff. One of my customers was telling me the other day that he loves RagSafe because he gets automatic notifications. He doesn't have to have an operations person monitoring his servers 24/7 because companies like RagSafe do that for them. So I think that startups are bread and butter, and they love us because we're cheap.
And is there anything that, you know, in particular that RackSpace is using for gaming companies that it may not be using for other types of companies? Or?
No, not today. You know, the principles of the cloud are basically a lot of times one size fits all, and that's what our public cloud is about today. We do have private clouds where we allow you to customize a little bit more, but to be honest, we're starting the gaming industry. We're just now starting to get into it ourselves, so we're hoping to find more of those things we can do.
Can I comment on that? Right?
Sure, please.
One of the things I think that's interesting you just said, Megan, is the one size fits all, and I think that's something that people really need to understand about the public cloud. When you think about the public cloud, you have to understand you're getting a homogeneous piece of infrastructure that's built for a lot of different types of workloads. You know, the way I like to talk about the public cloud is, like, I make the analogy is that it's a four-door sedan. And I love four-door sedans. I have a four-door sedan. It's a great vehicle, right? But it's made for taking your kids to school. It's made for shopping. It's made for taking family vacations. And when we were on the public cloud, namely Amazon's Web Services cloud, we found that that four-door sedan worked for us in a particularly good way while we were scaling. But we also found that we could actually customize that infrastructure, playing a little bit off some of the comments earlier. We had a tune for better availability. We had a tune for better performance. We actually found that when we actually customized zCloud and took our private cloud and scaled it up specifically for gaming, we were getting a 66% reduction in the number of servers we needed. So three servers in the public cloud equaled one server in zCloud. It's not because we bought better servers. It's not because we had better Intel chips. It's not because we had, you know, specifically built hardware for the cloud. We just knew our app. We knew exactly how our app worked. We knew what memory footprint it needed. We knew what disk I/O it needed. We knew how network traffic patterns were coming through our data centers. We understood how to do things in load balancers that wasn't via an HA proxy in a virtual machine. We knew how to do things that made our game scale better because we could build our own infrastructure. But if you're going to start on the public cloud, I think it's a great thing for people to do. But understand that as you get to know your app and as you want to tune it, as you want to build efficiencies in your business, you're going to have to go with something that's not as homogenous, that does something for very specific workloads. And we think, you know, we've proven zCloud is sort of the race car for social games. And that's something that we've begun to, as you saw playing last week, Ari, start to open up as a platform as well.
Well, so is there space, and maybe these companies are being formed now, but is there space for startups to take that one-size-fits-all nature of the public cloud and add features onto it that are customized for gaming companies that make it easier for gaming companies to get started without sort of having to rely on maybe some of the blanket qualities of the public cloud?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that's interesting about that is that, you know, we don't intend, you know, we think about infrastructure as a service as something that's more of a commodity. And we think about things that are make gaming more social as something that's part of the gaming ecosystem that would be part of the platform. So one of the things that we think about is, as I'm sure some of you in the room know, we launched a thing on Zynga.com recently, this playground for social games. And on Zynga.com, we've offered features which allow access to our 240 million monthly active users, access to our audience. We allow you to tap into the Zynga network in terms of, you know, setting up Z-Friends and friends you can play social games with. We have analytics we're preparing, so you'll be able to find out your install rates and where your users are coming from. And we really think there's some back-end infrastructure that Zynga has that can be offered up to gaming companies. Matter of fact, just this week, we announced Konami, Playdemic, and Rebellion Games are going to be putting their games onto the Zynga platform. All that's powered by zCloud behind it. So really taking cloud infrastructure as something that's part of the infrastructure play, leveling it up into services that make games more social. The thing I love to think about on gaming is if I go buy, you know, Madden, which I do every year, and if I go buy Madden, if I want to go play it at my friend's house, I have to bring the disc if he doesn't have it. And he has to have a console. And he needs to be able to have that console and plug it in, then we can play Madden. But guess what? If he happens to have an internet connection and a browser, then we can both play Farmville, we can both play Cityville. I can check my Words with Friends board anywhere there's a browser. Because it's the infrastructure in the cloud that allows that game board to be manipulated. That's a stark contrast versus console games.
George, how is EA determining what to put in the cloud?
Well, based on workload, really, right? And I think Alan hits on some really good points, which is traditionally the way that you develop for console games is specifically for that console. Right, but what we are learning from cloud and our movements into the social and mobile markets is that that's exactly the problem. Right, you are very limited by your interaction with this console, and so what we are doing with cloud is basically moving to a manner. EA has made some very public announcements around their move to a common digital platform, so that if you interact with our games in a mobile space, the stats that you have, the credits that you have, any of the game attributes that you are used to seeing should also be available when you interact with any of our intellectual property on a console title or on Facebook or on your tablet. Basically, I think what cloud has taught us is the value of players wanting to have a social component to the things that we're doing. It's very much pushing us beyond the limitations of the single-player console market.
I mean, the way we think about it, Zynga, just to deliver that, is great games have great audiences. And the way you scale those great audiences is by building infrastructure that scales and by building features that make those games social. And that's what we think we do. You know, it's easier than ever to think about, how do I build a game? You can build it in iOS for Apple devices. You know, games should be, they should be social, they should be accessible, and they should be fun. And it's easier to get into that market. But scaling that market and having that infrastructure and having the features that make the games social, that's the hard part. And I think that's where we really see that what we're bringing to market and how we've built our games in the past and how hopefully a lot of you are you know, like our games should show you how that gets done in a very scalable way.
I'd be interested in hearing from each of you or whoever would like to sort of pipe up on this. What's different about the technical skills required to be a game developer today versus a decade ago? A lot of folks, including your CEO, who weren't gamers a decade ago and have built successful business out of it. What are sort of the most important skills?
You can go first.
Sure. I think programming for a console market has a definite set of challenges, right? So 10 years ago, you had to be very intimately familiar with the platform that you were developing for, and you had to have a lot of very specialized expertise to know how to render polygons and get pixels to texture the right way to create this very cohesive, beautifully rendered gaming experience. Nowadays, with web gaming, it's very easy to do, right? You have platforms like Flash where you just take things and wrap them in Unity, and suddenly, voila, you get that part of the mix out of the way. But I think nowadays you require a more a larger set of web programmatic skills. You need developers that know PHP or Node.js or can interact with a Facebook API or know how to port your particular application to Android. So you still have the challenge where you need developers that can very much address the needs of the platform that you are coding for. But I think the skill set is spread out, and it's not quite as specialized as it used to be.
From our point of view, the number one thing that we need developers to do is make fun games. I mean, if you don't make games that people love, there's kind of no point in why you make them, right? So our number one mantra in the company is make games people love to play. As a matter of fact, make games we love to play. So that's what we focus on. But let me tell you a little bit about how the architecture of the games are. You know, George is right in terms of the client side, but I think it's a little trickier than that. We spend a lot of time focusing on whether it's iOS optimizations, Flash optimizations, rendering engines. We have rendering engines we've built inside Zynga that a lot of you are using on our games now, because you have to make the games interactive. You have to make them fun. You have to push the frame per second rate. And it is harder to do in a browser than in a dedicated console with a dedicated chipset to do that. And we spend a lot of time doing that. On the back end, our games generally, your game board as we call it, you know, again, whether it's Words with Friends or whether it's Farmville or whether it's Castleville or any one of the games that we have that you play, we actually hold that in memory. And it's held in memory in a system called Membase. Membase is a memcached tier on the front end with a SQLite replication system on the back end that we've been working with the company Membase itself to develop and continue to develop and move forward. That in turn has some infrastructure behind it. In front of it, that's a PHP layer running in Apache. So you do need PHP folks to understand how to scale the front end. You do need Membase people who understand how to deal with things in very large memory blocks on the back end. You do need networking folks that understand how to scale the networks and make them so they're non-blocking, so tens of millions of clients can connect to them at the same time. You need all these sorts of skill sets. But I think the key thing that we like to do at Zynga is we divorce those two worlds. We want game people and people that make great games to make great games. And on my point of view, from the infrastructure at Zynga, I almost want it to disappear. I want guys who are making the next feature in Castleville, that are making the next feature in Farmville, that they can push that game on in the infrastructure, they give it to Zcloud, and Zcloud says, come at me. I'm ready to scale to however many users you want. I can scale because we have the infrastructure both internally and we have the public cloud we can leverage as well. So for me, game designers, let them loose. I don't know how to design games. I know how to make games run fast. I know how to make games scale fast. I know how to make fun games and fun features scale fast. So we spend a lot of time divorcing those two disciplines inside Zynga and really making tech leverage and be the backbone of the gaming developers themselves.
Daryl, I'll get to you in 1 second, but just a quick follow-up. The people on your team, what percentage of them come from a gaming background?
People on my team, well, that's a good question. I don't know if I know that number off the top of my head. Generally, the really talented folks we have on infrastructure side come from building out large-scale infrastructure, generally not from building games. Right. You know, honestly, the next great feature that I love to play in Farmville, I don't think my guys are the guys coming up with that. I think my guys are the guys coming up with, we see the big spike, we see the growth in DAU, and we're the guys that get excited about being able to serve that and flex that and use tools like RightScale to scale that up appropriately. Right. But we're not the guys coming up with the next viral, for example, at least on the infrastructure side of Zynga.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask a question to the gaming guys here, which is...
You're conveniently in the middle, by the way.
I started to see this when I was at PlayFirst a little bit before, but it seems like one of the things, the skills that a game developer needs now is the ability to test their games and to put things out there and not to say, oh, I know how the gameplay should be, but to say, how do the users, you know, how do they vote with their feet? Because I feel like with the ones that we see, you know, scaling are starting to really figure out how to do that fast, rapid cycle around testing, really looking at the data, really seeing sort of, you know, where our users walking, and then switch the whole application to there really fast, and then make the next test, and then make the next test. So,
sure. Again, I'm an infrastructure engineer, so I'm very delve into the technical back end of things. I would say that from the player experience, though, one of the biggest wins that we've had around cloud, or what cloud has really made possible for us, is a way to very quickly and easily load test. From a distributed environment, geographically distributed, without needing to necessarily have a footprint in every single geographic zone where our players are. Cloud makes that very easily accessible to us. Model of operating cloud makes it very easy to photocopy our entire infrastructure, stand up a replica of production, and troubleshoot, find bugs in there that we may not have seen otherwise. In a traditionally hosted environment, right, you have a very lightweight development environment. You have a staging environment that's, you know, kind of broken up into some functional roles that look very similar to what you're doing in production. But production is always very different than what you have when you're staging and testing your game along the way. With our use of cloud, that really goes away. And basically, we are able to test against what is a replica of live without it actually being live and impacting our players.
So, Megan, Alan talked about Zynga's move from public cloud to private cloud. At what point does it make sense for companies to go from public cloud to private cloud, or can they scale indefinitely on Rackspace?
So I think, like Alan said, it's a matter of what kind of what their feature set needs are and what their what they can and can't do with this one-size-fits-all type concept. A lot of customers, as I mentioned before, we start with startup. A lot of startups come our way. A lot of these startups, once they grow to basically have, you know, X players per game, they'll go dedicated. Sometimes people see us as kind of the poor man's dedicated server, but we are we feel like we can scale, you know, as high as they need to go. As George said, it's not only about developing the games, but it's about testing the games and getting hundreds of servers up in minutes instead of days and weeks. And so that's what we really pride ourselves on, is that we not only can run these games, but we help them also develop and test.
And I think, you know, as Alan said, it just depends on how your game works and what it needs. One of the things that we've seen on Rackspace now is people who, for some reason, don't want to put their databases in the cloud context are now starting to use Rack Connect. And so they put the database in the managed context or the hosted context, and then they use Rack Connect to go over to their app server tier, which is in the cloud. And we have 10 clouds behind RightScale, and they all kind of have, you know, their different abilities. You know, if you still need the managed context, we have other public clouds that are doing fully managed as well. So it just depends on what you need.
And so I'll just to add on to that, we not only see customers using a mix of private cloud and public cloud, but we also see customers using a mix of different clouds. So lots of our customers, Rackspace customers, also use AWS or SoftLayer. And it's just about that specific feature set that you need. And we find that customers don't really care if they have to use multiple clouds.
I mean, I think the one-size-fits-all is something that, you know, again, it's a nice – I don't see everyone driving the same car. So I think that there are people who have different preferences. I think there are applications that you want to do. I think not everyone lives in the exact same house because we have different needs. We have different, you know, application desires. You know, I'll give you a stat on this. You know, back in January of 2011, we had 20% of our daily active players, like I said, in zCloud and 80% up in Amazon, and we flipped that over the given year. And the reason we flipped that was really around performance and availability. and we wanted to prove that our private zCloud could be more available. We wanted to prove that we could do things in a way that scaled faster than the public clouds were scaling. We still think that having that, you know, that single shoebox out there to use is useful, but I think that being able to scale, when you get a social game that goes to 5 million daily active players in 6 days, you know, that's something that, you know, homogenous, one-size-fits-all sort of piece of infrastructure doesn't really work for. You know, not everyone buys the exact same server. There's a reason that servers have different SKUs. It's because you want to match the server types and the network types to the workload that you're devising. And if you know your workload and you know what your games are doing and you know how your users use it, I think that you'll be able to figure out a way to do the hybrid cloud in a way that works for your business. But I want to go back to the analytics question real quick as well. And you're asking about playtesting. We have a very sophisticated data analytics backend as well. Zynga uses a system called Vertica. Vertica is a system that was bought by HP. It's a columnar data store that allows us to store billions of rows in it. And we end up basically playtesting or A-B testing, or we call them experiments, where we can roll out feature sets or particular new virals or new feeds or new software into the games, literally at almost at a 1% granularity. So you'll see features go to 1%, 5%, 10%, 50% up through, and we scale that out. And we can quickly roll back and do things in a very flexible, automated way. And it happens in minutes at times over, you know, large quantities of servers in multiple geographies is probably the best way I can articulate it. So I think that having that capability and having that flexibility to tune the game mechanics and the virals has really helped Zynga develop games that people love.
Yeah.
And even within the cloud, I know you mentioned, like, you know, you have different sort of tool sets for different teams. Like, since some teams use RightScale and some teams don't, and it just sort of depends on what they're doing. And
so. And again, going to the point of having different needs, one of the things that we've experimented a great deal with is EA is basically a large publishing framework, right? And we have a lot of different game development studios within our umbrella of a company. So we see a lot of different use cases. We see a lot of different applications. We see a lot of different needs for cloud, right? For example, if you are building in AWS, IO is a really huge bottleneck. Network latency can be a really huge bottleneck. If your game is very IO intensive and really needs low latency communications, AWS isn't the place for you. You can go over to Rackspace, for example, who really addresses the IO issue, but for some teams that particular model doesn't work because their games are really chatty over the back end network, and we end up needing more nodes than we would in a place like SoftLayer, for example, right? So there are different clouds that have different needs, and to address the question of on-premise versus public cloud, EA definitely benefits from the economies of scale. We have been publishing online components to games prior to the advent of cloud. We have that large IT infrastructure. We have the ability to roll servers very quickly. We have the ability to scale, but typically within days versus minutes or hours. So when we get into a cost analysis of what really works for us, a lot of our footprint is still in private data centers. We are moving to a point where we are building a cloud-like infrastructure across those public data centers, but we're also still a big consumer of public. Where's really that threshold? Where do we break even? I think, by and large, looking at a cost analysis, and I know this is a very contentious point, on-premise hosting typically makes sense for us. But what we get out of cloud infrastructure is the ability to scale quickly, scale on demand, and scale in a way where we have, again, very low risk.
And how much better are the analytic capabilities for the stuff that you are pushing to the cloud than the stuff on-prem?
It really depends on the game team, and it really depends on what we're doing. I think one of the other things that cloud has taught us is the value of being able to gather analytics very, very quickly and on very large scales, because we're doing this on commodity hardware that really does not cost a lot compared to large on-premise data warehouses. If you needed to collect endless amounts of stats over what your Facebook users are clicking, you know, are they clicking on the gold pants versus like the silver glittery pants, right? All of those trends, all of those objects, all of those interactions, that's a tremendous amount of data. And what cloud has been is enabled is for us to be able to stand up a very large infrastructure to gather all of those objects, gather as much data as we possibly can, and then figure out how to analyze it later. That's something that was never really possible in the physical world just because of the sheer cost of implementing that.
Yeah, we do the opposite in data analytics. We actually have our vertical clusters and all of our data analytics in our own data centers. They run inside zCloud. We scale them incredibly fast rates. You know, we're able to do 1,000 physical servers, as I said, in 24 hours. We can stand up, you know, thousands of machines over the course of time. We've automated our tools. We've innovated on that way, and we really think that having that data analytics inside the private cloud is the way to scale. It would be unfortunate to try and run some of the large data apps that we run up in AWS. It just to George's point, you know, IO rates and disk IO rates just don't scale there. And that's no secret. I think Amazon knows that. So,
what are some of the security issues that gaming companies face moving to the cloud, George?
I think in any of the applications that I've seen to date, we are very reticent to move any of our intellectual property off-premise. Our intellectual property is king, right? We take a lot of precautions around what's exposed, when and how, and I think our biggest security challenge is making sure that we protect that intellectual property until we are ready to release it. So in terms of public cloud, I think very little of that goes out.
So it's not a user data, user info issue. It's a company IP issue.
To speak to that point, all of our user data is housed internally as well. And one of our biggest challenges in cloud is how do we take the disposable resources or the gaming resources that we're putting out in cloud and connect back in a secure fashion to all of that subscriber data. There's no single magic bullet solution to that, but I think we've gotten around that in some very creative ways.
From our point of view, you know, we obviously take security very seriously. We want you to have fun on Zynga Games. We want you to be secure on it. We figured out a way to do, you know, PII data securely in the cloud. We figured out ways to connect that up via the hybrid cloud back to zCloud. We've also figured out ways to connect to our social network partners in a secure manner that we don't expose PII data, which is obviously something that we have to be very conscious of. It's something that we spend a lot of time at Zynga worried about. We also, on the security side, as opposed to just securing IP and worrying about personally identifying information, we need to worry about things like DDoS attacks. We need to worry about securing the system for firewalls. We need to make sure that the system can scale up and down at the load balancer level. We need to do lots and lots of things around securing the environment as well as keeping data secure. You know, data at rest, data in motion sort of things are both topics that are very important to us.
So what does a small team with a small operating budget need to do right off the bat in order to protect itself and protect its users?
Well, first thing, understand what PII means. I think that's very important. I think that's something you need to think about. I think as you start to think about payments, I think it's very important to understand how to be PCI compliant on the payment side. I think it's also very important to leverage vendors and look for things like SAS 70 certification and make sure that's done properly. There's a number of things you can do as you're starting out that you can leverage what other people have done on the security side. I think, though, as you begin to scale and as you begin to want to turn the economies back in your favor as opposed to using the one-size-fits-all and using something that makes more sense for your business, you need to sort of learn about these technologies and continue to implement them judiciously.
Daryl, Megan, either of you see kind of security issues that are specific to or unique to game companies?
Not necessarily. I think cloud kind of gets a bad rap. Everybody is always concerned about security in the cloud, but we have professionals on our staff who are constantly doing penetration tests both on the API and the network side as well as you know, making sure that our firewalls are locked down appropriately. And so I think that this is something that we struggle with as a public cloud. I think it's more of a perception thing than anything, but we are hyper aware of the security concerns and try our best to address them.
I mean, I would say just as you need to secure a hosted or a managed solution, you need to secure the cloud, and you need to know how to secure things. And you can secure it. There aren't a lot of magic bullet tools out there just yet that are help a smaller team do it. A lot of us are building in those tools. We are building in a lot of those tools and have a lot of them on our roadmap to make it a lot easier for people to do it. But right now you have to think about everything around users down to the instance where do you process payments? Where do you load people up on their gold so they can go back to the cloud and play without worrying about security?
I mean, you have to realize when you put a machine in a cloud, whether it's public cloud, you're dropping in the middle of the Internet. So pretend you're dropping in the middle of the Internet in that ocean, and how do you secure it and how do you do it? Just like you would at dropping a machine onto a gigabit Ethernet port at a provider. It's the exact same way to think about it. pen tests and firewall rules are nice, but I think that you need to audit your public cloud providers. You need to understand what they're doing. One of the things that we spend a lot of time looking on the public cloud is understanding beyond the black box. You know, people look at Amazon, it's just this black box, and you just launch machines into it. But you need to dig into that. You need to know the infrastructure. You understand the implications of it. How are they doing DDoS? What are the firewall rules? What accessibility do you have? Do you have Splunk logs that you're doing? Are you monitoring things for error rates? Are you looking at, you know, access logs and error logs in ways that make sense for the business? If you can't do that, then I think you're going to have an issue. And, you know, you don't want to be on the front page of a business magazine because of a security event. That's not something that everyone wakes up in the morning excited to have happen to them. So, keep that in mind.
I would say that one of the ways that RightScale really helps us address this is what I see is when we have game development teams, we have several layers of development. There's actual game development, then there's some platform development, a little bit of data architecture and development. And then we get into the world of IT and infrastructure and being able to stand things up in a secure way. What RightScale really helps us do is be able to kind of address some of the challenges in DevOps, right? And DevOps basically is the movement of developers getting a lot more into the realm of operations. Cloud really makes this possible, right? You are able to scale your infrastructure, add additional nodes, respond to outages as you see them, and that model is really great. But when it comes to building in a way that's very secure, we really see at EA is IT takes a lot of time to make sure that our security standards are in place, that we review what's being done, make sure that we build in ways that we feel are safe, that will protect our sensitive data. We present those in very templatized ways, and then we're able to integrate with our developers through a tool like RightScale, which allows them to build these dynamic components on the fly, but to do them in very secure, blessed, repeatable ways.
Any questions? Mic's in the middle if anyone wants to start lining up.
So this is really a question for Alan and George, and I'd like to kind of hear a couple different perspectives. But, you know, we touched on a little bit of the economics of public cloud and, you know, whether it makes more sense now, and also on the capabilities and some of the limitations of public cloud. And do you see, a point in the not-too-distant future where, Amazon had a couple, announced some price drops in EC2 this week, Azure did the same. And so we see prices coming down. And we see capabilities getting better, although IO is still one. Maybe SSDs, and sometime we'll fix that. But do you see a point where it's going to make a lot more sense to put more and more in public cloud, or do you see that there's always going to be whether it's security or PI or other reasons to always keep things in house?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it came down to two things. When we realized that we wanted to bring a large percent of our players in house to zCloud, we really realized focused on two things. One is availability. One of the things that, we really focused on is understanding what is availability from everyone on the planet. We talk about games being social, accessible, and fun, right? So the way we measure availability is not looking at redundant power supplies and redundant racks and, redundant server arrays. We actually want to know, can everyone on the planet get to a Zynga game all the time? Full stop. And if you have an ISP failure here in Austin and it stops you from getting to a Zynga game, I want to be able to understand that, and I want to be able to help articulate that. Doesn't mean I can necessarily trench a new ISP in Austin, but it means that I can, think about how I architect my network and think about where I do my BGP peering and think about where I leverage my CDNs. And there's a lot of things you can do on that front. When you remove that flexibility and remove that, again, I'll say it again, you buy a home where you live and you customize it to your needs. You don't rent where you live, right? You rent where you burst to. I burst to a hotel when I'm in Austin, but I own a home in San Francisco. And I think owning that infrastructure is a key. It's the hidden jewel inside Zynga. It's the thing that makes us scale fast. It's the thing that allows us to tune it. The performance anecdote I'll tell you before, it's not even an anecdote, it's a fact. We had, for every three servers we had in Amazon, we ended up with one in zCloud for the same workload because we could tune the infrastructure to match our needs. So, what is the price of that? How much does that really have to be? And if a server costs X in Amazon and it costs X for me to play in zCloud, but I need three of them in Amazon, the economics are pretty simple at that point. We really focus on building infrastructure that scales for everyone on the planet to reach a Zynga game, and the economics kind of fall out from there. As long as you know you can build availability efficiently, as long as you know you can build performance efficiently, I think at the end of the day, you'll end up with the infrastructure that matches the needs of your business. And public cloud We love the public cloud. Let me give you a script. We love knowing the public cloud is there, just like we love knowing CDNs are there to be the shock absorber for us. We have a hard time thinking about that being the only infrastructure because we can't peer inside of it and tweak it in the ways that we think work best for us. So that's how I'd answer the question.
So I'm inferring that most of the cloud discussion today has been about sort of an infrastructure as a service level. I'm wondering about platform as a service, whether stacks like VMware's Cloud Foundry are becoming viable, and whether there are implications in terms of scaling or customization that would hold you back from going down that path.
Sure. Do I do that one, George, first?
Sure. We've actually spent quite a bit of time looking at VMware's Cloud Foundry. There are some applications that we have in some popular platform as a service providers. I think what we are starting to discover, though, is that the line between infrastructure as a service and platform as a service is a little bit blurry. Even with all of our infrastructure as a service offerings, what we're getting to is the point where when the infrastructure team engages the development team, at the end of the day, what we're asking them for is, give us your data objects, tell us how you want those stored and processed, give us your code, and we just spit you back out a usable application. So I think for us, what we're seeing is that some of those lines are slightly being blurred, and EA is moving towards building a common digital platform internally that we make available to our developers in much the same fashion. So we are, I think the industry as a whole is kind of moving towards that as an end state.
I mean, similarly, my team internally offers the platform as a service to Zynga developers. We have Zynga developers give games, they write games, they make fun games, they drop it on the platform. But what you've also seen is that we've opened up the platform now, as of last week. You know, we're focused on publishing, promotion, and analytics as the things that we'll be offering other game developers through Zynga.com. We think that while we internally run platform as a service, and that's how our services on zCloud get consumed by our, by our game developers, we think there's also business in being platform as a service for the gaming community and helping that gaming community reach 240 million monthly active users, reach things like our stream, reach things like live chat, developing services up the stack that leverage zCloud to make games more social and more fun. And that's what we think we're going to really be focusing, at least as of what we've done so far.
Let me ask just a quick follow-up. Might those include MMOGs, or will the console still be the better place?
Yeah, I really can't talk about what we may or may not do on MMOGs. I can just say that.
Can you? Will your platform be capable of that?
Yeah, our platform's capable of a lot of stuff, Eric. we built a very scalable piece of infrastructure.
It's a very polite no comment.
Yeah, it's a very polite no comment. That's right.
So if I can just ask you a follow-up question to that. So how is your zCloud different than the public clouds that are out there today for the gaming companies that you're hoping to attract? Will you be offering them those levels of customization and...
Where to start? So how is zCloud different than a public cloud? So let's talk about that. So we offer higher availability. We've actually been able to focus on all-in availability for everyone on the planet, excessive of 3.9s and 4.9s. We've offered a higher performing infrastructure on the back end, and we're offering services that we think gamers want to consume. We're offering, again, streams and chats and ways to publish. We're offering analytics. We're offering ways to tap into our monthly active users for game developers. And we're doing it on infrastructure that's customized for social gaming. It's not a one-size-fits-all. It is infrastructure to make social gaming run like a race car. It's not a four-door sedan. It's not like the generic car that's out there. And that's what we're doing. So we're giving people the ability to say, Zynga, who is scaling social games, has built infrastructure at scale for social games. Now you can leverage that, and you can use it for various parts of your social gaming infrastructure. And we think that's compelling.
That was going to be my question.
Excellent.
But I guess a follow-up would be, in terms of curating content from these third-party developers, how's that process going to work? In terms of, like, we're a mobile game development shop based in Boston. How would we get onto zCloud?
Sure. How would you get on zCloud? Well, we know how to scale back-end tech, and we plan to offer some of this back-end technology. We're going to have some APIs we'll be launching later this year for that. So the only thing I'm saying is stay tuned. Okay?
I'll grab your card.
Yeah, please. Love to talk to you about that. If you're making a fun game, we'd love to help you bring some social services onto it. Awesome.
Question for Alan. I'm wondering how coupled zCloud and AWS are for you.
Sure.
Are they geographically yep. near each other? Do you use Direct Connect?
Yep.
And like your software tooling, is it just a, you know, one abstraction?
Sure. Great question. So, yes. So we have built inside of Zynga pieces of infrastructure we call superregions. So we have an East superregion and we have a West superregion. And the best way to think about a superregion is it's one or more centers within a given geography, and those superregions themselves are highly available, redundant within the geography. The superregions are also fiber-connected to our social network partners and to AWS as well. We actually were directly connected to AWS before they had Direct Connect. I'd like to think we might have helped drive them in that direction. So we have two superregions, East Coast and West Coast, and we have, you know, sort of single-second, millisecond latency guarantees across all services within the superregion. They're scalable, they're redundant. They're interconnected across the country through a private fiber network. So we've really built a lot of infrastructure around making sure that if you deploy on zCloud and you use some of the Zynga.com services that leverage zCloud on the back end, you'll be able to get to social networks, to Amazon, et cetera. So we've done a lot of work on that front.
Almost the entire conversation has been focused around the infrastructure side of the cloud. Let's talk a little bit about the user and gameplay in the cloud. So if I can kind of put you each on the spot, what's the future of the connected console?
Well, the connected console, if you take a look at some of the things even that are happening to EA titles, I think the boundaries between MMO and social game and casual gaming and freemium models are really starting to blur, right? We're starting to see a lot of convergence of that. If you look at Battlefield 3, for example, right? Battlefield 3 had a lot of social components that launched along with it that encouraged you to form squads with your friends, to have leaderboards that can get published out to a social network. If you look at releases just recently, like SSX, right? Those have asynchronous play functionalities that are now built in. A lot of the things that have defined markets, such as social and casual gaming, are slowly starting to get integrated, and I think what we're going to see for the future of console games is a lot of convergence with those different platforms and those different experiences.
Obviously, I can't talk to console games. We don't make console games. But I can tell you that one thing that I love knowing is that your game board for all your games you're playing in Zynga are accessible from any browser or almost any iOS device or an Android device. And if you're playing Words of Friends on your iPad and then you go over to the browser, guess what? It's the same game board. If you're playing, you know, Farmville on your browser here at South by Southwest and then you happen to go home and you play it on your own machine with your own browser on your home PC or Mac, guess what? It's the same game board. So making games more social, making sure that game board is accessible via cloud infrastructure, being able to play on any device at any time is where we think gaming's going.
And I think, you know, any device, any time, and really I'll add anywhere, and that's the beauty of the public cloud, is that companies like Rackspace and Amazon already have locations all over the world, and where we don't, we're leveraging the power of CDN. So I think that not only just being able to do it socially, but make sure that people in Japan have the same experience as they do in Chicago. And I think that's where the scale of the cloud can help companies.
For entrepreneurs who may be interested in the gaming space but not necessarily wanting to be a game developer, where might there be room for innovation? Where companies can sort of help the existing infrastructure out there, or make it more, you know, seamless play. Any thought?
I mean, we are starting to see some people just come up and create platforms in the cloud for things like the leaderboards, and you know, it's going to be competition for Zynga. But if you wanted to create the pieces that go into all these social games, especially in the area of mobile, we're seeing a lot of companies come onto the cloud, setting up platforms for mobile gaming, and you know, so it's an area that you can play around, but not actually do the game development.
I think mobile is huge. I think mobile is a great place to think about. I think the best thing to do is make a fun game. I mean, there's nothing more fun than making a fun game, I think. And you know, there's also nothing more fun than watching a game launch and seeing it, you know, vertical sky through, you know, many, many millions of daily active players. If you want to play in the infrastructure space and you want to do something around infrastructure, then I think something, you know, there's clearly some room around analytics. I think there's some folks that are working on analytics and some interesting things you can do around that. I also think that things like OpenStack, which I know Rackspace is involved in terms of cloud orchestration, is interesting. We like to think about being able to take cloud orchestration layers and leverage them across multiple different public cloud offerings, perhaps, in the future. We think that that's an interesting play. And we also think that there's some plays for innovative ways to get access to the cloud. So in other words, how do you speed up? You obviously can't break the speed of light, but how do you speed up, you know, bandwidth compression? How do you make PHP compiled run a little better? Things like hip-hop coming out of Facebook are interesting. So I'll spend some time in those areas, I think, are some interesting ways to think about it. And I'm getting the high five, so I'll shut up.
It's just five minutes.
I'm getting the hook.
I was going to ask, what do you guys think of Open Compute, whether you look at that stuff at all, Alan?
Yeah, actually, I was involved in the Open Compute Alliance. I was at the announcement at Facebook doing that, speaking as one of their Open Compute proponents. I think Open Compute is a pretty interesting platform. For those of you that don't know, it is a server and data center spec that was published by Facebook and a number of other companies around how do you build efficient servers and how do you build efficient data center space. Drives PUE, which is an energy consumption metric, down to something called 1.07 in data centers, Facebook's data center up in Oregon. We're doing very, very similar things inside Zynga. We've built servers that we like to think of as cloud-based servers. We specifically are doing data center. We've optimizing our data center, our server design, inspired by things like Open Compute, hot aisle containment, doing some very interesting things around, you know, very efficient power supplies and step-downs in particular ways instead of traditional step-downs in data centers. We think that what Open Compute's done is really sort of opened up the black art of servers and data centers and allowed a lot of people to see what a lot of us at scale have been doing, and we think that that's going to be very innovative. So we're spending a lot of time with those guys.
Any more thoughts on Open Compute? Any thoughts on developing for HTML5, how difficult it is, how important it is?
I got some thoughts there. Anyone else going to speak up? We like HTML5. Obviously, HTML5 as a client is something that's coming as a trend. We think it's an important trend. We're starting to develop games in HTML5, and we think that's important, as well as Flash and obviously iOS and on the iOS and Android platforms. So, yeah, we think we've actually open-sourced some of our HTML5 components already, and you can find them on Zynga.com. We actually have an engineering blog called code.zynga.com, and you'll see some of our work done there in HTML5 already.
Yeah, I think the companies that are turn the HTML5 into the games and into the stuff for the mobile is going to be pretty interesting. They'll use the cloud for that sort of batch, you know, quick. Let's get the game out there and let the person download it. And but again, not necessarily in that side of things. So, yeah.
I have time for one more question, if anyone. Else,
also, maybe yeah. An answer to the platform as a service question earlier. If I give some time for anybody to think of one more question, we see the platform as a service is a great place to go and test your first minimum viable product, minimum viable game. We very quickly, just from experience, see people outgrow it. I think Heroku finally added cron, but before you can even do like cron jobs. I think, you know, what was said here earlier, you know, there's a lot of platforms as a service on infrastructure as a service. We provide that as well with our server templates. We have companies like DataPipe that provide their own sort of, you know, come on and do your platform as a service with us, and they'll build all the templates for you and do it on public cloud wherever you want to. So I would say start out on platform as a service just, you know, with your first code and just to test it. But you're going to outgrow pretty quickly. And so if you think that you have the budget, you might as well start on the public cloud.
Great. Well, thanks a lot. Thanks to the panelists. Enjoy the rest of the conference.